have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you was going to be this good, but it feels good!
Welcome on in, everyone, to the boardroom. Our brand new episode. Big news out of Houston. Miles Smith, he's following Lovey. He's following his daddy. He's going to be coaching the linebackers. Immediate reactions when you saw that tweet. Go.
I remember his opening press conference. He said, "I'm recruiting Houston." So it's come full circle.
Is that how that works in the NFL?
Did we get anyone from Houston? I don't know, but
Can Deshaun come?
Yeah, that'll be his first recruit.
So if you think about it, a promotion for Miles because his father was fired, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, my initial reaction was just, what the cash?
What the cash, yeah.
And it just made absolutely no sense that this guy who was completely unqualified to be a position coach in college is now coaching linebackers at Houston. And I hope he's not coaching Whitney Mercilus, who deserves so much better than that.
Look, he didn't do so bad with the linebackers, right?
Did he develop Milo? I think he didn't.
How about Tariq Barnes? Okay, let's get to the real
stuff.
How much of that?
Sorry, yeah, let's just talk basketball.
We let that go for a long time.
I did see one hilarious thing on Twitter, so everyone in Illinois was just completely like trolling the hire. But then there's one who I think was some like Texans reporter who just says, Miles was an assistant coach, in parentheses, CBs in 18, LBs in 1920, with Lovey at Illinois, and a quality control coach with Lovey at Tampa Bay. That's just the ultimate, like, Miles was a resume builder who, like, unless you're an Illini fan, you don't realize how much of a bullshit hire that was.
We're getting hot and bothered off of this when we should be talking about
I'm really excited for the Texans.
A win. Yes. Okay. We're not getting into Titans talk. I'm cutting it off. We're getting into the win. We beat Indiana in what was just like the most frustrating win I think that you'll ever endure. Like I was sweating after that game ended in overtime. Should we just start with a little cash talk, a little Trent Frazier? I mean, what an amazing call. We got a good explanation on Twitter from our friend Ken. He goes, yeah, there is a legitimate emotion involved. He dunked over Coburn, and this is why Trace Jackson Davis didn't get a technical. A game has been going on for a while, so emotions have had a chance to build. And there's a difference between being 3 feet from the bench and 20 feet from the bench. He got that from the official NCAA rulebook. So you have to take the amount of time in the game multiplied by the amount of comments the shooter made about the bench player's mother, and then you divide by the minutes left in the game, and then you reduce by the home team. And that's how you decide if it's a technical foul or not.
Yeah, and this guy's a moderator on Indiana's biggest board, so I actually, definitely unbiased source.
I texted my buddy who went to Indiana, and he goes, I texted him, like, look how badly this guy got trolled by Illinois fandom. He agreed with all of us. He goes, LOL, I'm glad that dude is so bad. I have no idea why he even has a job for 247. Everyone else on the 247 Indiana staff is pretty damn good, and then there's this fucking clown.
I mean, it was just, come on, man. Like, you gotta know... No one's going to be upset at you for being like, yeah, that's a terrible technical foul. Like, on both sides. Like, no one's going to be upset at you for being like, yeah, that's silly. That's ruining basketball. But no, this guy had to dig and come up with some phantom proxy rule here for how technical fouls work. And he said the word cash, C-A dollar sign H.
It's funny you use the word clown, though, Josh, because that's exactly what the referees were all night. I mean... When you have four players fall out before regulation, and I don't know, I think we had multiple other guys, Curbelo, Miller, who had four fouls going into overtime. Like, the officials just had made a decision. They wanted to call everything, and it was 20 fouls on both sides. And that's just, I mean, I'm sorry. We want to watch Big Ten basketball players, not Big Ten refs, play a game.
So that was Io's first foul out that he's had, and Kofi wasn't in foul trouble. So that's just pretty much a big indictment on the refs if those two are like reversed for one game.
It was interesting, that's for sure. Brad did say don't write about the refs, you know, write about how well we played. And so I don't want to focus too much on the referees because we had a good game.
But that being said, did anyone think that DeAndre Hopkins' trade was ridiculous?
No,
I'm kidding.
No, I know. Miles Smith, I know. He has. Who does he have to work with? What linebackers are there in Houston right now? It's ridiculous.
I was texting with my IU friend about Kelly Pfeiffer. He's the ref who we refer to in college as having maybe a larger than average rear end.
A donk.
And it occurred to me, do you think other schools are like, oh yeah, that's big butt ref. Like, do they dump also truck. Do that, or is that just us?
I think we might be the only Big Ten basketball podcast that objectifies referees to the level that we do it.
But good. Yeah, I do think Illinois fans have an intimate relationship with referees, partially because there was a while where that's what we could only focus on because we weren't that good on the court. So we're like, all right, let's get upset about Terry Weimer and Terry Oglesby and DJ Carsonson.
Yeah, you know the names.
Exactly. And thanks to our boy Jacob Raelich, who orange cowboy hat knows every single ref and teaches us about their personal life, like Larry Sirotto is a cop in Pittsburgh. But either way, let's get back to the game. What I was thinking was, it was kind of like that Purdue football win in 2019 that we road trip for. It was very ugly, and it wasn't a good win, but it had the potential to be a terrible loss. And at the end of it, we just avoided having a terrible night at 11 o'clock when you just wasted 3 hours watching an ugly game, but we escaped with a win and we didn't have to go to sleep upset, wake up the next day and work upset. Like, we were able to just say, okay, we survived and we advanced, yes, and we can kind of continue on until Saturday.
Yeah. My only thought was like, if yesterday was frustrating, like, we're about to go to Wisconsin. Like, that's just usually where all my frustration builds. So,
well, it's in Champaign, though, at least. So you don't get Kohl's Center magic voodoo stuff. But yes, Wisconsin is like the epitome of like frustration when Brad Davidson just like steps in front of an IO who's about to get a layup and they just call a phantom charge because Brad Davidson happens to like be bleeding because he pulled the WWE stunt and he cut his little forehead and the fake blood starts pouring out. And Brad Davidson goes, woe is me, as he cracks his nose and breaks it open there a little bit. He goes, you got to call the offensive foul. You got to call the offensive foul. I played this out in my head a couple times. So,
I mean, thanks to Dan Dockich, though, talking about that charge with Io, where he called out the officials and said, that's just a terrible call. And once again, referees, let the players play. We want to watch our All-American play basketball.
Speaking, though, of the game, if we want to talk a little about it, it was kind of fun having Trent be the go-to scorer in a game just like he was his freshman year. I liked watching it.
It was literally freshman year Trent, where like their offense is either just a Trent three or, I don't know, like an Aaron Jordan wing shot. And it's just like, well, Trent's going to have to put up like 32 if we're going to beat like Penn State at home. Kind of reminded me of not so good times. And I mean, I looked at Johnny, I'm like, how do we do this in overtime? Like, where does the scoring come from? And then with 20 seconds left, I go, all right, here's the Kofi dunk. And I was the Oracle. I don't know. I guess, I don't know if I called it. I don't know if I saw them draw it up in the timeout, but got a nice little bellow to Coburn for the win.
Yeah. I would say, Kurt Bellow is a little bit of a step up from Tajon Lucas at creating shots for his teammates. But there were,
they still dribble a lot. Both of them do dribble a lot.
Let's not talk about Jalen Tate, though. But that being said, it did have a lot of freshman year Trent vibes because there were a few late shot clock where Trent's just dribbling, trying to get someone off balance, take a deep three. And fortunately, we didn't have those freshman year Trent losses, and this team, I guess, just knows how to win, which other Illini teams didn't know how to do.
I'll be really happy at the end of the year if that's our worst win.
Yeah.
And we just have better wins.
That would be nice. We did cover, so I don't know what everyone is complaining about. It was easy.
Easy cash.
Watch your mouth, Sam. We don't say that word. I'm teeing you up.
Yeah, but did you guys know that the Kofi dunk was the first field goal of overtime between both teams? So that we went 4 minutes and 40 seconds with no field goals. Indiana goes 4 minutes and 53 seconds without scoring a single point. So You might never watch a college basketball game like that again in your life.
Hopefully not. I mean, if that was like your first experience of watching basketball last night, like you will never turn on another basketball game again. You literally think that it's the refs that are like, oh, these are the athletes. The one with the nice butt. He clearly squats a lot. Yeah, these are the athletes in the game, right?
Yeah, I think our buddy Ken Palm does have a point there that sometimes watching NBA games fast-paced and the best athletes might be a little bit of a better product than watching 4 minutes and 53 seconds of clank, clank, clank.
I'll watch the Bulls in 3 years when their starting lineup is Io, Curbelo, Grandison, did I say Kofi? Maybe Coleman will be coming off the bench. That'll be the Bulls' starting lineup. Then I'll watch the NBA.
Guaranteed seventh pick.
The Bulls, yeah. Do you think Hawkins will fall to seven in a couple years?
Swap him for BBB, no one notices.
Do we need to talk about how Adam's hair might be a detriment? I think it looks really cool.
What's no, we don't. Can we compare the shooting percentage before he
got we don't want to talk about that.
Hold on, hold on. Let's wait a couple more games, and then let's compare shooting percentages before the new hair and then after the new hair, and that is the only objective way of knowing if it's good.
I think Sam and someone else texted me at the exact same time. Look, the Adam Miller drove, and the sky isn't falling. So
drew a foul.
That was nice to see.
He drew a foul. Also turned the ball over. But I like to see it. Yeah, if you have guys that on tape, he's a three-point shooter, but he's also going to drive into the lane and then kick it. Hey, it's like it's helpful.
Yeah, I mean, Adam might need to go to the Trent Frazier school of hair, which is change your hair every season, not mid-season. Mm. Remember, he had the blonde hair his freshman year. I think sophomore year was kind of more of like a mohawk, like fade sort of thing. And then he went for a little bit of the man bun junior year, and now he's
braids.
Got the braids.
Yes,
senior
underneath
year.
The headband. Underneath the headband. And that was our best analysis of haircuts on Illinois basketball.
And we're brought to you by Roku haircutter. Arcoa.
Never heard of that.
No free ads.
That's the one. That's the TV thing, right? Okay. Well, before we give away anything else for free, let's move on to our guest. We were connected with Illinois superfan. You might notice him. You recognize him as Goku. Dresses up in every Illinois basketball game. Of course, not this year with the pandemic. As Goku.
And that's a Dragon Ball
from
Z.
Dragon Ball Z. We call him Yu-Gi-Oh guy because we don't know the difference, quite frankly. But we had him on. It was an awesome interview. He's a great sport. We kind of poke fun at the fact that he's been at Illinois for, I don't know, 10 years, but it feels like it's been about 100. I've never not seen him on the court. He was there. Tyler Griffey, he's, you know, still there now on the sideline there with the pictures of fans. So let's go ahead. Let's turn it over to Andy Wazalek. Alrighty, we now welcome on today's guest. He is really a living legend of Orange Crush and Illinois basketball fandom. You might know him as the guy who's been at every basketball game dressed up in that Goku costume, which we'll get into it. But he's also known as just Andy. So welcome, Andy, to the show.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm just so nervous. You're kind of one of the bigger guests that we've had. You're just so in the mainstream Illinois media and on display. Now, I want to start with a very simple question. What do you do and how does it allow you to be a student section member for like the last two decades?
Those two decades, that'd be really old. So I am a fourth year graduate student right now, but I did my entire undergrad here. Starting in 2010, right? Yeah, 2010. Did the 4 years. Actually did take, I think, a year, maybe two off of Crush, wherein we were just sitting in the general seats. And then I applied back for grad school and then have picked it up. So it's been a non-consecutive run. But we're working on a good, close to a decade now, I think.
Yeah, what did you, just out of curiosity, what did you major in and then what are you in grad school for now?
Yeah, so I started in IB, integrated biology. Actually, started in engineering. Found out that was not for me. Switched to bio, and now I'm finishing up my master's in, used to be animal biology. Now we are EEB, which is ecology, evolution, and behavior.
Wow.
Yeah, and I work with soybeans, which is super exciting. I spend a lot of time in the greenhouse growing them in pots. and clipping them and seeing what happens, because soybeans, like a number of other plants, will regrow after you cut them. And the particular lines we're looking at regrow even better than they would have if we didn't cut them, and it produces more soybeans.
Have you ever been in the Morrow plots?
I have, although not pertaining to my research.
He almost made it to graduation before Chancellor Jones listened to this episode and saw that you were you were in the Morrow plots. We won't tell.
Come knocking on my door. Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna have a follow-up soybean episode coming in a couple months when it's the off season. But let's get right into it and ask, how have you obtained these crush tickets for, I guess, 8 years? Well, I guess since 2010, so we're at 11 years now. And what's the longest you've ever waited for to get into a game?
So yeah, obtaining them, just have been being enrolled, which has been very nice.
Right.
The longest that I have waited,
I feel like in the last 11 years, like the longest. The Iowa game last year?
8 hours? Iowa was a really long, because we got there, because that was a night game, right?
Yeah, that was.
It was a 7 o'clock tip. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure we got and started waiting in line at like 7:30.
I think that was a day game.
The Iowa game?
Was that a day game? Year. Okay.
No, it was a night game. I remember watching. It was a night game. I think it was a night game. I remember watching it at home at night.
There 4 was o'clock. One that we were sitting over at
maybe afternoon at the tennis center
for a very, very long time.
The details are important. Yeah, so basically, how do you get the exact same seat every single game?
Sure. Most of the time, it is really just showing up early. And as we found out before they started funneling us all down this one flight of stairs, we could take the upper bowl. And being 6'4" with a long stride, you could really power walk quickly and beat most of the people around the outer side. There was one game that some people snuck in a little bit early before they let us go down to our seats and took our seats. But
what the?
We death glared at them for the entire game, and they never tried it again.
Good.
Yeah, Andy, I have to say it's hard to recognize you on this Zoom call without the wig and the Goku hair.
I was gonna say I have it in the closet. I could put it on.
Yeah,
we're gonna need that character here.
It's good luck. So, what inspired? Go ahead, Sam. Go ahead.
No, you go.
Oh, okay. Thank you. That's so kind of you. Well, I was just gonna ask because you brought up Goku. So, like, what inspired you to dress up? You know, you could be anyone. You decided to be Goku from Dragon Ball Z. And by the way, hand up. We all call you the Yu-Gi-Oh guy. We're sports guys. We don't know the difference between it's Dragon Ball Z, I'm being told, I'm being aware of now. So how did you decide on Goku?
It was a little bit of a roundabout way. Originally freshman year, I really wanted to do the Village People. but none of my friends were cool enough to want to do that. So then I started just playing around with ideas for orange and blue colored entities, I guess. And for a little bit, I had almost settled on orange and blue Joker from The Dark Knight and just getting like a tailor-made suit and stuff, but the makeup would have taken forever every game. But I really liked Dragon Ball Z growing up. I also liked Yu-Gi-Oh! A lot growing up, so no harm there. But it was something my cousin and I shared an enjoyment of, and we watched a lot of, back when they had DVD sets, we'd watch it together. So that was just paying a little bit of homage to him as well.
Well, I think it works with the orange too. It's just really seamless.
Plus, like whenever you watch a highlight, you can always like tell you're there. So like, for example, I was watching the Tyler Griffey buzzer beater, and I think you were literally like the first person to get to him.
Yeah.
And after he makes it right, and then you hug him, it looks like, on the video. Like, what was that like? Like, walk me through that and what you remember.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. It wasn't anything premeditated, because most people went to mid-court to celebrate. It was, kind of, if you watch the video, it's a little bit of a hesitation to make sure that it goes in. And then, I just dead sprinted toward him, got there. And then actually, Mike LaTulip had tweeted about this a little while ago, that he was, I think, second there behind me. And so then we kind of shared a half him, half Griffey hug. And you just get dogpiled for the rest of the team. And he felt like part of the team. That's fun. Back when they let us used to stand along the baseline, it was just right there. And that made the most sense to make a beeline for the
that
guy.
That was awesome. I love the new Orange Crush renovations and whatnot. But like standing on the baseline there, like on courtside, you can't beat that. You can't get any closer. Like, that is awesome.
Yeah. And the opposing teams would warm up on that side to start the game. So you could chat with them, which was a really wild experience.
Any conversations that you can think
a
back?
A little bit. Wisconsin, yeah, the Wisconsin guys were always the most talkative. I'm trying to remember who was there back when we were still down on that side. But yeah, we just like actually talk about classes and things, what they were taking. So it's kind of, it broke down the barriers a little bit. I mean, obviously never talked to like Hawkeyes or anything like that.
Rough. Good, good, good.
Yeah. I got family in Wisconsin. So.
Fran was probably not in the mood to have a chat.
No.
Not one bit.
So when they updated Orange Crush, did that like change where your seat was? Like, did you go from baseline to behind the basket or anything like that?
Yeah. So we used to be pre-renovation kind of over by the tunnel where the band used to be. And then the band moved to the other side there. And then, yeah, once that got taken away, I thought about doing the sideline again, but it's so recessed now. And you kind of put, we would have been now behind the bench, which would be kind of cool. But I tried a couple of spots before first game for the renovation, just kind of walking around and seeing what it was like. And we liked our spots, kind of tucked in the corner behind the basket there the best.
Yeah, that's where we were always, was behind the bench. And it's always fun to just hear the, like, Brad Underwood yelling at his players, or John Gross just giving them pats on the back.
Or just looking at Paris Parr and being like, I have no idea what I'm doing right now.
And did you ever make the pilgrimage to Springfield while the renovations were happening?
I did several times, yes.
I'm sorry.
It was a good, you know, I drove myself most of the time. They did have a bus that would go down, but I liked controlling when I could leave and come back. Mm-hmm. It was a nice little by myself, sit in the car for an hour and a half, listen to the radio.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, back in the glory days. So was the Indiana game the best game that you went to in your 10 years, or?
Keep in mind, you still have like 6 or 17 more years of games in the student section that you can pick from.
When I have a kid and they come here, then you know, the grandfather. We've made the joke of being like the two old guys from the Muppets up in their little box.
Yes.
Wait, so who are you there with? Who are you there with?
It has been for the longest time. My best friend Jeremy, who we came up through school together. He's been now a not in grad school, so sometimes I can sneak him a ticket every now and then. But it's been, I've made it almost all the way through now what kind of two iterations of people that we've sat with and hung out with. So it's kind of, it's cycled through. But Bryce, actually, who put me in touch with y'all, typically will sit with us.
And that I like how you bring up how you have like your best friend that you go with. So what is your like Illini origin story? Like, have you always been a fan growing up of Illinois? Did you just recently start becoming a fan when you started going to games, or what was that like for you?
Yeah, both my folks work for the university, so it's always been, and I grew up in town, so it's always been a little aspect of it. My first true orange love, and still is Texas, so burnt orange.
Interesting.
So I had a lot of that in my closet. Mom is from San Antonio, went to UT. So there's that connection. But probably my first real introduction in following sports was in 05, of course.
Sure.
It just happened to be the year that I started paying attention to sports. And through my school, actually, Jimmy John, whose kid went to our school
great
as well.
Great guy, by the way.
Great, yeah. made an announcement saying, hey, they're buying a block of tickets for the Wake game.
Ooh.
Okay, so I go home, tell my parents, say, hey, they're offering free tickets to the Wake game. They say, yeah, right. All right, go get us 5 if you can. So I come home the next day, here they are. And, you know, still not really realizing the importance of that. So I got to go to the Wake game.
That's pretty wild.
Did you sit in the same spot?
Was, my first... Say what?
Did you sit in that exact same, the lucky spot?
No, we were up in B.
Oh, okay.
The 200, so... Free tickets only get you so far.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's actually a good transition.
Yeah.
Because I want to talk about Orange Crush right now and how loud they get. I feel like you watch the videos of the Wake Forest game and games from 2000 to 2006, and it's so loud. Like it's like the dream college experience going to student section. I guess What's your honest assessment of what Orange Crush is now versus what I guess it was at the start of, like, well, I guess you were at the weight game. So at right. the weight game versus it was in 2010. Mm-hmm. And then, like, how do we get kids to be more loud?
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, I mean, in 05, it's hard to compare because, I mean, you had the so many expectations going in and everybody wanted that. That was the hottest thing in town. And yeah, it was an incredibly loud game. We had gotten some ear splitting games in over the course of the years for high ranked games. The overtime Michigan game a number of years ago now, when we came back and then Nana Igwu got that 5 second call that really swung the game. Mm-hmm. That was about as loud as I remember it being. Iowa last year was crazy loud. But yeah, it has kind of ebbed and flowed since then. I mean, cell phones are a big part of it, I think. Having that on, people are oftentimes texting.
Did they have those back when you started going to games?
Back in the day, I think I got my first cell phone, yes, sophomore year of high school. So that would have been what? Oh, 07.
Yeah, but they were like, they were clunky. They were almost. Big. They only had them in the cars.
Yeah, they were huge. Yeah, like the brick in the purse kind of thing. Right. You pull it out, line it up. Yeah, and I've talked actually with my friend Jeremy about this a lot. We talked about, yeah, what is it? Is it the passion? Is it the level of play that attracts more adamant fans? Yeah, there's not quite even the staking out as much as there was, like camping out waiting for games. Even kind of back my freshman sophomore year, when we actually had to be outside at the UNC game, I think my sophomore year, we sat out in the snow for hours. And that kind of that forges you in the crucible and makes you appreciate it a little bit more. But I don't know. I thought about tryouts. I thought that would be a good thing. You have become like, yeah, spirit tryouts kind of thing, and yeah. Measure how loud you can yell and whether you know the chants and the songs and stuff. And
more of a survivor thing. Who can stay away from their phone the longest?
Yeah, and you do the with big inflatable.
Who can say chair the loudest? Thing.
I'm pretty good at like the oh yeah thing, you know, like I know exactly what it's gonna be like. Oh, I'm really good. Like, I'm really good at that stuff. I think I would have shined in auditions. Yeah. So
like really good.
Like really like a little bit terrifyingly good. Like it's like freaky how good I am at that stuff.
That's the kind of passion you need though.
Yeah. So what happens first, the fall of organized religion, or you graduate?
Yeah. A couple of years ago, I would have said fall of organized religion, but I am scheduled to graduate this May.
Wow. So, congratulations.
In all seriousness,
yeah. I mean, end of an era. I'm not going to know, like, I'm going to look at the baseline next year, and there's just going to be a seat. Like, they almost need to put your Goku, like, outfit on your chair there. They just need to reserve it for you. Like, no one gets to
or
sit in that
chair. Or just whoever's in that seat.
Yeah.
Are you passing it on to someone?
I had, you know... I should put it out on Twitter or something and say, hey, yeah,
we'll help you.
Tryouts. Who wants to?
Tryouts. Yes. We could do tryouts.
That would be cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
But funny you bring that up because actually, one of my barbers in town, they've since moved to downtown Champaign, but his son, I guess, also noticed that I was at games and he wanted to, once I graduated, buy the outfit off of me so he could frame it.
Yeah. Oh, frame. See, don't we want it in? We want it in use.
I don't know though. Yeah. It could kind of be like Legends. They have the chief outfit. Like,
I guess
that's the same sort of thing. Frame it, bestow it for the people.
Mm-hmm. Maybe hang it up in new cams.
Well, now pass it down.
Hang it up in new cams, maybe.
Well, I guess there's like the discussion on Twitter that happened today about like hanging Trent Frazier's jersey after the end of this year. But shouldn't it be the actual main graduate, you, Andy?
Up in the rafters, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Andy, do you have some like closure knowing that your last game was the Iowa game, or do you still need one more game in Orange Crush in your spot to really say, okay, we're closing the book on me and Orange Crush?
It is nice that it kind of was forced upon me in a way with the pandemic, because then it's kind of like, I don't know, contracts up kind of thing, and there's no going back. It would be nice to have one more send off.
Yeah, you need a senior night or a super senior night.
super.
Yeah, they'll let you start like Tyler Underwood.
Yeah.
But at least you do have this year of your face still being at the stadium,
right?
And random pictures of random events. It's like, oh, yep, there's Goku.
That has been I've been very tickled by that, and I had no idea that was just going up. Actually, when I saw it at, when we played at Duke, I was like, wow, that's a cool idea. We should do something like that.
So at the if they're allowing fans in Indy, like, are you going to be there on the baseline?
I am slated to get my first vaccine shot tomorrow, so I would clear by that time.
Nice. Let's go. What media pass can we take away to give it to you?
It depends on where the media is.
Is Soybean Quarterly sending anyone down there to cover the Final Four? We'll check in on that. Yay or nay? Card stunt smelling cologne, the halftime card stunts.
Yay as a gag gift.
As a gag gift.
Gag.
Yeah, emphasis on the gag. They smell so.
Watch those because I helped out with the block out. We washed those things.
So there's an actual job of someone washing it, because that's hard to believe.
Rag, you do every damn one of those.
It's so bad.
Yeah. What's in the spray bottle?
What's up?
What's in the spray bottle? Like the sweat of everyone?
Basically, yeah. You kind of wring out the frat guys afterwards and say, here, donate for posterity.
All right. So I have a question. Yep. I'm a big history guy. What were my parents like in college?
Delightful. And I'm glad that they passed on their sense of humor to you.
And then what was college sports like in the last pandemic in 1918?
Yeah. How would you compare the two pandemics?
There were still mask wearing, which is good. A lot more bowler caps, though, and I miss my top hat. I wish we could bring that back. It's been a century. I think fashion's cyclical, right?
Yeah, I think we're ready for it.
We were a little better at football back then.
Suits and ties, yeah. We look so clean.
I guess to close it out, who would you say your biggest nemesis is amongst other fans, and why is it the Scream Girl from Northwestern?
I miss her.
I don't.
Yeah, because we road trip several times. Nemesis in general is probably all the Mizzou fans at the Bragging Rights game.
Yeah.
Just
have you been to a decent amount? I would assume like every year.
Yeah, we've done 6 or 7, I think.
Wow.
And I guess you bring the cast.
Oh yeah.
Good.
And on the topic of the road trips, you know, a lot of the times the Orange Crush disguises itself. Do you have a disguise before you're wearing Goku, like a different Dragon Ball Z character?
Like a civilian costume, so to speak.
My Yu-Gi-Oh costume, and then I put that in it. Nobody suspects. And then I put that in. No, it's my top hat and suit from 1918.
From 1918, exactly. Exactly. Awesome. Andy, you've been a fantastic sport. Really great insight into what it's been like back when Orange Crush was just a drink and before it was even a student section. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope to join you for a game here in the future, maybe sneak us down there into Block I. I don't know if we have any student eligibility left, but we'll see what we can do. But thanks so much, everyone, for listening. We'll catch you on the next one. ILL.
I. Thanks, guys.